Good morning, everybody. I'm going to read a scripture from Luke chapter 18. And it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting in the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Isn't that a lovely phrase? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Hallelujah. I want him to always keep passing by. Do you? Always doing that. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So they try to shut him down. Jesus is passing through Jericho. He's not staying there. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through. He's going on the greatest mission of his life to Jerusalem. In the previous verses, he told his disciples what's going to happen to him. So from this incident to when he was crucified was probably 6 or 7 days. So as Jesus is going through Jericho, he knows he's going to Jerusalem where he will be arrested, spat upon, beaten, persecuted, and then hung on a Roman cross. This is on his mind. Within 5-6 days, he'll be crucified. He knows this is going to happen. He told the disciples it was going to happen. And the disciples, it just didn't sink in. They just couldn't understand it. So this is on the mind of Jesus as he's passing through. Then he hears this man shouting, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people told this blind man to be quiet. Shh, shh, be quiet. Shut up. Be quiet. Be quiet. And they got quite a lot of people saying to this man, be quiet. There was a huge crowd with Jesus, as there always was when he went through towns and villages and cities. And this man, this blind man whose name is Bartimaeus, it doesn't tell us here his name is Bartimaeus, but in one of the other Gospels, it does. In Mark's Gospel, it says his name was Bartimaeus or Bartimaeus. And if you look that name up, the word Bar means son of. And Timaeus means honorable. So the name actually means honorable son. This blind man, when he was born, was given the name honorable son. I guess he doesn't feel very honorable now. He's blind. We don't know when he was blinded. We don't know whether he was born blind or whether he became blind, but he is blind. And he hears that Jesus is passing by because he hears a commotion. And he says, what's going off? And they says, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. I like that. He stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Jesus was passing by. Jesus had on his mind Jerusalem. He's to die for the sin of the world. He's to die one of the most horrible, vile deaths imaginable. The pain and the suffering that he was to go through could not be imagined, both physically and spiritually. But he heard this man crying and he stopped. Let me just tell you, there's many scriptures where Jesus was passing by and would have carried on if somebody hadn't stopped him. Did you hear that? You got to ask Jesus to help you. You've got to cry out to Jesus. Don't just assume that because you're a Christian, it's all going to go okay. No, cry out. When you need something, cry out. He's passing by. He's always passing by. Jesus of Nazareth. Those who led the way told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" That is the title of my message this morning. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus once says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Can you imagine how weary this man was? He's blind. Blindness in those days definitely is not like it is today. Blindness is a terrible thing of whatever day and age it is. But in that day and age, nobody ever got cured of blindness. Today we have eye hospitals. We have people and doctors who specialize in eyes. You can go to Spectavers and get some of them. In that day and age, you couldn't have them. There was no such thing as reading glasses, long-distance glasses. There were no glasses at all. There were no hospitals. There were no doctors that could look at your eyes and see that if you was blind, you was blind. Do you think we're blessed in this day and age? I can see a number of people, they have got glasses on. I wear these. What a blessing they are. Come on. What a blessing. Sometimes when I'm doing my oil painting, I don't always have my glasses on. And I'm painting intricate things. And suddenly I think, oh, I better put my glasses on. I pop them on. I look at it and I think, oh, what a mess. The glasses really help you. We are so blessed. But in that day and age, there was nothing. And there was no such thing as social support. There was no money given for people who were sick. There was no sickness benefits at all. If you were sick, you had to just beg for a living. You couldn't work. So this guy was sitting at the side of the road begging for somebody to give him something, some money, some food, something. In that day and age when this man lived, blindness was very, very common. Lots and lots of people were blind, so there were lots and lots of beggars. They went through their life begging. So he shouted out, he heard of Jesus, and he said, "Have mercy on me." So Jesus heard him, and he stopped. Even though Jesus was got all this on his mind of what was going to happen to him, he stopped, and he turned. And he said, "Bring him." And the guy came to him. Then Jesus seemed to ask a ridiculous question. "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, most of you would think, well, that's pretty obvious what he wanted. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Let me tell you why it wasn't obvious. Because nobody ever got healed of blindness. Nobody ever had. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of miracles that were performed, as there are in the New Testament. People got healed in the Old Testament of leprosy, lameness, things wrong with their arms. People even got raised from the dead. But nobody in the Old Testament got healed of blindness? Nobody. In fact, there's two miracles in the New Testament that came about because of Jesus that you don't find in the Old Testament. All the Old Testament miracles, all of them, you'll find in the New Testament, except two. One was healing people of their blindness, and the other was the gift of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. True. You got prophecy in the Old Testament. You got revelation. You got inspiration. You got all those. You got faith and power, but you got no speaking in tongues. But the New Testament, that is. I hope you speak in tongues. Amen. Oh, well, there was one or two of you said amen to that. If you don't speak in tongues, speak in tongues. If you're a Christian, ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. And guess what? You're speaking tongues. You're speaking foreign languages. You'll be praising God in a language that you don't even know. Hallelujah. So it wasn't so strange when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Because a man has never heard of anybody being healed of blindness. Do you understand that, what I'm saying? It's not in his comprehension that people who are blind can be healed. There's no such thing in those days. Now, when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What could he have said? He could have said, "I want some money. I'm hungry. Come on. Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm hungry. I need some money." He could have said, "Give me some money." He could have said, "I want some food." He could also have said, "Can you give me somebody who will help me, who will minister to my needs, who will be there for me, help me to wash myself, help me to around to find places." He could have asked many, many things of Jesus. Come on. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the answer absolutely amazed Jesus and the people standing there. He said, "Lord, I want to see." Wow. That's what all he said. "Lord, I want to see." He's blind, standing in front of Jesus, can't even see Jesus with these eyes. But he was seeing Jesus with the eye of faith. "Jesus, have mercy on me." What a man. Jesus stood there, amazed. All of a sudden, all the burden that Jesus was carrying lifted. He was thinking about Jerusalem, rejection, the pain he's going to go through, and the horrible death he's going to die, and how he's going to take the sins of the world upon himself. But all of a sudden, he's got a beggar standing in front of him, asking Jesus to heal him of his blindness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus, well, let's read it. This is so good. Jesus stopped and ordered a man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." I reckon Jesus didn't say, "Oh, okay then, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." I want to tell you, Jesus was excited. Here is a man who's got faith to believe that Jesus can heal him of his blindness. Come on. And immediately he was healed. Jesus says, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Glory to God. I reckon Jesus shouted that. I reckon Jesus was pleased with that. Jesus looks for faith in us. He wants to see. He commends faith when he finds it in us. "I want to see," he replied. Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. Well, you would. You would. The guy's blind, lives in a world of darkness, begs not for a living, but for an existence. He's not living. There's no holidays for this man. There's no long weekends for him. There's no blessings and pleasures for this man. There's no new clothes for him to wear. He has just throw-offs. He's a beggar. All of a sudden, his eyes are open. And while the Bible doesn't say this, I really believe he was looking at Jesus. I reckon the first sight he saw was Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Louder, come on. Jesus. That's who he saw. The man who had healed him. And Jesus actually said, it was your faith that did it. His faith did something like that woman who had hemorrhage and had been hemorrhaging for those long years, really 12 years, something like that she'd been hemorrhaging for. And she came and touched Jesus. Because she said, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. Where did that faith come from? After 12 years of hemorrhaging, and she'd seen doctors, and she'd seen physicians, and she'd spent all she'd got, and she was still ill and anemic. But she heard Jesus was passing by. And so she went to him. And when she got there, there was a crowd around him. And she pressed and pushed through the crowd. Shouldn't have been there, because according to the law, when she was hemorrhaging, bleeding like that, she shouldn't have been out in public. But she was there. She pressed through. And when she got to Jesus, he was walking away from her with Jairus, whose daughter was sick. And he was following. He was going with Jairus to heal this young girl. But the woman managed to touch the hem of his garment. Means she was on her knees. Bang, she was healed instantly. He stopped. He turned around and looked. He says, who's touched me? Who's touched me? And she moved back, and she was afraid. And he said, come on, who is it? Who is it? And the disciples said, Lord, everybody's touching you. What are you talking about? There's so many people here. He said, no, somebody's touched me. And she came forward, and she confessed it was her. And do you know what he said to her? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Just like this man, your faith. Where did that faith rise from? Deep within the soul. That blesses God. God commends faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise God. Why wouldn't you want to follow Jesus? Immediately, he followed him, praising God. And this is what I like. Listen to this. Immediately, he received his sight, followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. What were they doing just a few seconds before? Shut up. Be quiet. Shut up. Quiet down. Quiet down. Now, they're praising God. Wow, there's a happy praise party going on. Come on. I just think that God maybe did this for Jesus just to, because he knew what Jesus was going through. He knew what Jesus was to face, but he got the people praising him. A miracle flowed because of this man's faith. It flowed. Can I say, ask you this? How many people do you think was there that day that would have been sick? At least a third of them. At least, we're talking back in those 2,000 years ago. There were hundreds of people there, and at least a third would have been sick. But one man got healed. When this woman came with this condition of hemorrhaging, there was a crowd around Jesus, huge crowd pressed in on him, it says. And she broke through that crowd. How many of those people do you think were sick? But she got healed. What is it that moves the finger of God? Faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. Louder, come on. Faith. Faith moves the finger of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. when I get to heaven, I know that woman's going to be in heaven. I really believe that. And I got a strong suspicion that Bartimaeus is going to be in heaven. Honorable son. That's what his father called him. And he lost that honor. And then he got it back.
Yes.
He's a honorable son. I don't know if his father was still alive or not. I don't know. But I tell you what, that would have pleased his father. Come on. His father called his boy honorable son and he was blind. I've got a sneaky suspicion that he'll be in heaven as well. Come on. Because he says immediately he followed Jesus. Immediately he followed Jesus. And I reckon that this woman is going to be there as well. And I'm going to have a long talk with them both. Because we've got a lot of long time in heaven, you know. There's no clocks in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know how many people here have got a wristwatch? You won't have it in heaven. It's gone. There's no watches in heaven. Come on. So I'm going to find this couple. I'm going to say to them, where did that faith come from? This woman's been bleeding for 12 years. She would have gone to the priest. She would have had prayer. Nothing happened. But somehow, some way, she didn't give up. If I can touch him. If I can touch him, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. This man, I'm sure he'd been prayed for. I'm sure he'd really asked God to help him. But all of a sudden, this day, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. And he saw. How many of you know that it's a wonderful thing to see? Do you appreciate your eyesight? As you get older, these things don't work so well, do they? Pastor Pamela's finding this out now. The eyesight don't work so well, and the hearing don't. See, I've got something in my ear there and there. It's called a hearing aid. Because when you get older, things don't work like they used to. And I've got them. Things don't work like they used to. And things grow where they shouldn't. It's when you get old, it's horrible growing old. I thank God that when I get to heaven, I'm not taking them with me. And if Jesus comes right now and I'm in heaven, I won't have these hearing aids either. There are no Specsavers in heaven. Come on. It's true. But there's an interesting scripture that tells us in Isaiah, and Jesus read it in one of the synagogues. It's about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And one of the phrases in that passage of scripture is, and to open the eyes of the blind. Jesus came to open blind eyes. Now, I'm not talking physically now. I'm talking spiritually. Somebody once said, there are none so blind as those who will not see. He didn't say, there are none so blind as those who cannot see. Because blind people can actually see with their other senses becoming sharpened. A blind person could know what you look like just by touching and feeling you. A blind person is able to see by the other senses becoming more enlightened. So whoever said that, it wasn't a scripture, but I think it could have been, but it wasn't. There are none so blind as those who will not see. Not cannot see, but refuse to see. And we live in a world today that refuses to see. Yes. The world refuses to see the goodness of God.
That's right.
They refuse to see the wonderful creativity of God. And they want to say everything happened from a big bang. Everything happened from something we don't understand, can't explain, but somehow a tiny little big bang happened, and all the atoms that are in the universe, everything that is here today in this massive, massive universe, and they've just discovered more galaxies that shouldn't even be there, and it's baffling scientists. And guess what? A lot of scientists today are questioning the Big Bang Theory. Do you know why? Because it's stupid. How can everything like this come from nothing? Can't. And they have these theories of space-time theories and what gravity is, how it bends, and all these theories. But let me just tell you, give praise and glory to God for the creation that you see. Don't be blind. Pastor Pamela spoke last week, beautiful, about the trees, hugging a tree. Get out there and see the beauty of God's creation. Have a look at the wonder of the sky and the stars and the galaxies. Hey, this is built by somebody big. Yes. Didn't come from a little bang. It came from a big God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There's none so blind as those who will not see. I don't think, and I've lived now for 83 years, and I'm seeing things in this last 10 years I never dreamed that I would see. We're living in a world gone mad. We're living in a crazy, crazy world. We're living in a world that they tell us, and that this isn't coming from Christians, this is coming from non-Christians, a world that's on the verge of nuclear explosion, nuclear war. Hey, come on. And that's not Christians saying this. This is non-Christians, because I could see the world is a mess with all our education, with all our technology, with everything that we've got, that we've come up with that have been good. The world has not improved. We don't have less prisons today. We have more. We don't have enough. We don't have less mental asylums. We have more. Hospitals are packed to capacities. We have people waiting in ambulances to get in to see a doctor or a nurse. The world is falling apart. We live in a highly educated world, but we've just seen a little video there, those people helping that country in South Africa to be aware of what they're doing to children. In this highly educated world in which we live, children are prostituted. Children are enslaved. Children are made to be nothing. With all the education, what's happened to all that? There is none so blind as those who will not see. Well, can I say this to you right now? This man with his physical eyes could not see Jesus, but his faith could. As Jesus walked by, and he said, what's the commotion? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Man, he saw Jesus is the one that could heal him. Now, he may have heard of what Jesus had done from other people. I don't know. But he believed Jesus, because he called him, have mercy on me, Jesus, son of David. That expression really is saying, because they knew that of David's line would come the Messiah. And that really was, I know you're the Messiah. Jesus, which means Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. This man meant noble son. That's what his name meant. But Jesus means Savior. So he shouted out, Jesus, or Savior, I know you're the Messiah. Help me. Have mercy on me. And people, and I've finished, I'm bringing this to a close now. People whose eyes are spiritually open realize something. They do have a need. Now, most of us here, apart from just a couple in this meeting, can't see. Well, our brother Richard can't see. But most of us can see. We're blessed with all sorts of things that God has given to us. We can see. And people listening to me now on this that's out there, you perhaps can see. But it's quite possible that you might be blind in your mind. Because when you do see in your mind and you do acknowledge God, the next thing you have to acknowledge is that you're a mess. You're a mess. I'm a mess. I lie. I cheat. I steal. In days gone by, I was a bad boy. I needed mercy. When my eyes were open, my spiritual eyes, I knew that I needed mercy. I've been a Christian since I was 15 years of age. I went into a church to break a church meeting up with a gang of lads. We went in there cursing and swearing and blaspheming, mocking God. And I went 3 times to that church. And the 3rd time, something happened to me. My spiritual eyes were opened. And I asked God to forgive me. Let me say this. I did not become a Christian because I fell in love with God. I became a Christian because I needed mercy. I fell in love with God after I received mercy. Can I say that again? I came to God because I needed mercy. The youth leader challenged me and he said, John, if you was to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? And I said to him, I know I won't go to heaven. And I said, if there's a heaven, I know I won't go there. If there's a hell, that's where I'll go. I knew it because of the kind of person I was. I needed help. I needed mercy. And he said to me, you don't have to go to hell because Jesus can give you eternal life through his forgiveness for you. Come and let me pray for you. And I did. A 15-year-old boy, I went and I let him. He laid his hands on me, went back into the church. I knelt down in front of the altar. This is back in England. He laid his hands on me, and he told me to say a simple prayer of forgiveness. I got up from that place, my eyes open. I was forgiven. I'm not afraid to say what I'm going to say to you now. I went through those doors back into that church because I was frightened. I was frightened of facing God without God forgiving me. I was frightened of having to stand before God for all the things I'd done in my life that were wrong and for God to punish me. I didn't want that. I wanted the mercy of God. So I went into that place and I asked God to forgive me. But you know what happened as the forgiveness flowed into me? I started to love him. I started to realize he's a good God. We sang it this morning. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a kind God. He's a generous God. He's a God that wants to forgive and doesn't want to punish if we come to him. Have mercy on me. What do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus is asking you today. It's passing by. You may say, no, he's not. Yes, he is. He's here right now. The very fact that I brought this sermon is Jesus passing by. Come on. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. He's just taken my voice and he's using this to let you know he's here. To let you know he's here. He's in your room. He's in your home. Wherever you are, he's with you. He's passing by. And he's asking you the question, what do you want me to do for you? And there's a lot of things you may want in your life. Maybe you need money. Maybe you need a good job. Maybe you've got marital problems. Maybe you've got family problems. Maybe you've got a sickness in your body. There's a lot of things you could say, this is what I want. But actually, what you really need right now is forgiveness. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to wash me from all my sin. Cleanse me in the blood that you shed for me on Calvary. Forgive me and cleanse me and make me a clean person and a new person in your sight. Amen. Just bow your heads. Close your eyes. I want everybody to think of this, even the children. Jesus is passing by. Do you need forgiveness? Is it something you know you did wrong or have done wrong? Maybe this week, maybe yesterday. Maybe there's things right now in your mind, in your conscience that you know, hey, I need to be forgiven for that. Oh God, I need your mercy. Jesus, have mercy on me. Open my spiritual eyes that I might really see the most important thing is receiving your forgiveness and following you and praising you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. I've got my eyes closed, so I can't see who's looking around. And I want everybody in this room to have their eyes closed, everybody. And I'm going to ask you that if you want God to forgive you, let him know it by raising your hand. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to see. But if you know you've done things wrong and you need the mercy of God and not the anger of God, you don't want God's anger. You want God's mercy. I want you, I'm going to say a prayer, a forgiveness, but I want you to raise your hand. Nobody's going to see it. I'm not going to see it, but God will. So if you know you need forgiveness, put your hand up in the air right now. Nobody's looking. And I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Here we go. Raise your hand if you know you need forgiveness. Father, you see the hands that are raised, not only in this building, but in the homes of people watching this. As people have raised their hands, acknowledging they need mercy. They need forgiveness. Jesus, will you forgive them right now? Will you tell them that their faith has made them whole? Because it's your blood that has washed them because of their faith. I pray the blood of Jesus will be applied to people now in this room and in their homes. Whoever hears this sermon, hears this message, shall yield themselves to you, I pray, and be cleansed and be washed and be born again. Receive forgiveness from you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, as we close, if you, I don't know who raised a hand or who didn't, but he knows. If you raised your hand, I want you to know right now you're forgiven. Come on, you're forgiven. When this man's eyes were opened, what did he do? He followed Jesus and he praised him. And I just reckon we all ought to praise Jesus in closing. What song can we sing, Pastor Pamela? What's a good song to sing? Go on, let's go. No, one of those that we already sang that was we were sinking. Les sang it. Come on, Les. Yes. We're going to sing this as a closing song, but also as a praise song that all of us. Now, maybe some of you didn't raise your hand because you've been forgiven. That's okay. But you still need to praise him for his goodness and his love and his mercy. Amen. Amen.